Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, we've been in this series of prayer for a while, and we're finishing up now. Now, one of the things as you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is I want to give you a question. And the question is, after 13 weeks of this, has your prayer increase, you're actually talking with God? Because one of the worst things that can happen is for you to listen to all this and say, yeah, and not respond and not work. That God's been giving attention. God gave these four things. Turn me down just a tad bit. And God has been trying to draw, trying to bring you across. Remember that prayer isn't just giving our request to God. It's talking with a living God who loves us. Unfortunately, one of the things that happen, and we'll cover it more in our morning message, is that we get to the place of comfortable. And being comfortable is the antithesis. It is the enemy of godliness. That we get to the place where we're content with our Christian life. We find a nice little perch, a plateau to sit on, and it's comfortable. We're not bad, we're not evil, we've got things kind of going well, and we get comfortable. And prayer is one of those things that we only do seriously when we're uncomfortable. Now, it could be the simplistic of the Holy Spirit stirring us inside and we're responding, and God allowed us to be uncomfortable enough that we actually did something about it. But what normally happens is that we say, we'll file this for later. This is good. It's not bad, it's good. I'll file this. I have it in my notes. It sounds good in theory, but we never practice. We never do what God was trying to get us to do. And then what happens, and we'll cover it a little bit more later, is that God has to disturb the present to change the future. You see, if we get to the place where we hear lessons like this and it didn't stir us to actually pray, then God is going to have to do something to cause us to pray. Not because he's a bad God, but because he wants you to be in fellowship with him. He wants you to be in communication. And the first step was just to give you the information and hope that something inside of you would allow yourself to be uncomfortable enough to act on it. But if not, because he wants to have fellowship, because he wants you to be close to him, he will allow things in your life. We call this a principle, treasures in darkness. That the worst things that happen to us turn to be the greatest things that happen to us if it draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God knows how to disturb the soil, disturb things, especially when you have someone that is praying, God, help us to move forward. God says, that's good, I'll take that prayer. And to answer that, let's disturb things up. It is a true idea that the more that you pray, the more things seem to be disturbed up. That's not by accident. It's God answering that to draw you close to him. And again, it's much easier to disturb our own soil. May I say, it's easier on us if we disturb our own soil and just respond, then say, this is good, file this for later. I know where to go to if I need it. And God says, well, fine, then let's help you need it. So with that, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And let me show you a command. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Isn't that interesting? To pray without ceasing. The Bible gives us a command. It's the only thing in the Christian life that we're supposed to do without ceasing. Soul winning is good, but he didn't say to soul win without ceasing. Bible reading is good, but he didn't say to do that without ceasing. Prayer is the one thing he said to do without ceasing. And yet, it seems to be the hardest thing for us to do because we get comfortable. We don't need it. We get busy, we get distracted, and we don't do it. And again, it's not because God is trying to be mean. God desires fellowship. We could simplify it a little bit more. God is looking for friends. Ever think about how lonely God is? If he wants a friend and no one will talk with him, and the only time they talk with him is when they have an emergency or they have a laundry list of things to get done. But they don't talk with him. They don't spend time with him. They don't ask him how his day is. And that's what God is looking for, is fellowship. That's why it's the thing that we're supposed to do without ceasing. Because I could fellowship with God all day. I could take him to work with me. God, thanks for coming to work with me. God, you could go with me driving and let's talk together when we're spending time. I think we spoke about this last week, that if someone was with you, by obligation, you feel like you need to talk with them. But God is always with us. We just ignore him. Pray without ceasing. So as a reminder, how should we pray? How should we pray? Well, notice with me, if you don't mind, in Matthew 18. First of all, we should pray in Jesus' name. Matthew 18, the gospel record of Matthew chapter 18. Now, again, we're just reviewing what we've learned. But notice, if you don't mind, Matthew 18 and verse number 19. And again, I say unto you that two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they should ask. It should be done for them and my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Turn with me to the gospel record of John chapter 14. The gospel record of John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 14. John 14, 14. Let's do 13. John 14, starting in verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and my Father may be glorified in his Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We should pray in his name. Now, as a reminder, this isn't just tagging on Jesus' name at the end of the prayer, but the idea of praying in his name carries the idea that we have understood that this is part of God's will. And that we are understanding that this prayer should have his stamp of approval, that Jesus would approve of us praying. So there goes that red Lamborghini that you were praying for. It's probably not God's will. You probably could not in good conscience be able to say, God, stamp this for your glory and honor. So when we're praying things in his name, it means we're praying along with his will, that we've received discernment, and that because of this, we can have his stamp of approval. We know that there are certain things that is God's will. Can I, in good conscience, pray that someone come to know Jesus as their Savior? Yes. And could I pray in God's name for that? Absolutely. Can I pray that God does something in someone's life for them to read their Bible? Yes. Absolutely, because God wants them to read the Bible, and I could pray that in good conscience. And so we should be able to pray in Jesus' name, meaning our prayers, we understood, line up with God's desire, God's wishes, God's heart, and that we could pray in his name. Notice, if you don't mind, we covered this before. Again, this is all review. First Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. How How else should we pray? We should pray with a forgiving spirit. Now, as you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 3, Mark chapter 11 speaks about that before we pray that we need to be forgiving one of another. 1 Peter 3, 7 gives us a direct connection between heaven and home. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," speaking about the wives, "according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life." Now notice this, "that your prayers be not hindered." We know that there's another passage that speaks about that we're not supposed to be bitter against our wives. There is a connection between heaven and home. And that if things in our home are not operating correctly, that we are not going to have our answers to prayer. They're going to be hindered. The same thing with the idea of unforgiveness. If we refuse to forgive people, God is not going to heed us. How does that work out? Well, remember, God has forgiven you of so much. And if you were to be honest, that little ought that you're holding up against that other person really doesn't stack up to all that you did against God. Amen. And that God forgave you anyways. And that we cannot get a hold of God as long as we have bitterness, unforgiveness in our heart and our spirit. We need to forgive others as God has forgiven us. It's part of what we call the model prayer. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us of our trespass. That we we know that this is a principle that we need to go to the Lord with a forgiving spirit. Now, again, as a review, something else that we should avoid, the gospel record of Matthew. The gospel record of Matthew in chapter number 6. All we're doing is taking what we've learned and giving a review, reminding us of the things that we've learned before. So we're saying how we should pray. We should be able to pray in Jesus' name. We should pray with a forgiving spirit. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, "But when you pray, use not vain or empty repetitions as heathen do, that they shall be heard for their much speaking." We should pray without vain repetition. Remember that we should be able to avoid saying the same thing over and over. That when you are just doing root prayers, you're not talking to God, you're doing a ritual. And God doesn't want us to be stuck on rituals. He wants us to talk to a person. You know, could you imagine how annoying it would be if you just have your robotic lines? "Hello, how are you? I am thankful for your day. Please continue. Hello, how are you?" It's robotic. I'm not talking to someone there. I'm memorizing lines. Yeah. I'm talking at someone, not talking with someone. And so we try to avoid vain repetition using the same things. You know, "Now I lay me down to sleep, if I should die before I wake." You know, people say that as a comfort blanket, not talking to God. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for this grub. You know, we get to the things. "Lord, let us meet together at the next appointed time." It sounds great, but we're not talking to God. Amen. Those are just vain repetitions. We're not talking with God, which is the whole purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to sound religious. The purpose of prayer is not just to, for much speaking, to throw words out there. The purpose of prayer is to talk with God. What else? How should we pray? We should pray with insistence. That's Luke chapter 11, where you have the man who's knocking on the door. "Let me in, let me in, let me in." Why again was he knocking on the door repeatedly? Because he had nowhere else to go. We need to learn to be so dependent upon God that we go to him as if he's the only way that we get our answers to prayer. "Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you." Which goes back to what I was saying before. The only time we do that is when we need him. Most of the time we're comfortable. And so our prayers aren't emergent. They're not passionate. They're not necessary. We could pray and think about something else. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Where you're talking out loud and you're saying words to God, but you're not really thinking about what you're saying. You're just throwing words up there. Normally it's happening as we're sleeping. Oh, Lord, thank you for... But there's something different when we need God. Lord, I need you now. Lord, please, right now I'm desperate for you. That should be how we pray because we're so dependent on him. We should pray with watchfulness. Remember, we've covered this before, that the disciples, they went up with Jesus and Jesus told them to watch and pray. To watch and pray. That word watch carries the idea to fast without sleep. He says, watch and pray. It carries the idea of being diligent. If you could imagine a soldier during wartime on guard duty, is that a time for him to fall asleep? No. Is it a time for him to be distracted? No. Why is he on watch? Because it's important that he's on watch. He needs to be alert because the enemy is close. The enemy is out there. The enemy has potential. You cannot miss it. Watch and pray. It carries the idea of watchfulness, diligence, vigilance, looking and alert, to watch and to pray. We should pray according to the will of God. Notice with me in the Gospel record of Luke. The Gospel record of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel record of Luke 22. And notice with me, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to go to the cross. Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We should pray according to the will of God, not according to our will. But be able to surrender, God, whatever you want done. Your will, not my purpose. Your will. I'm surrendered to you. And then we should pray in faith, believing. The Gospel record of Matthew 21 covers this. That one of the reasons why we don't see answers to prayer is because we don't believe it. There's so much doubt, double-mindedness. The idea that, Lord, this is what we need. I hope you can give it to me. Lord, I really could use this, but maybe you'll get around to it. We don't have any faith. And part of it is because we don't believe that God can or will. Now, this goes back to being stagnant. We're going to see this in the life of Philip. We get to a plateau where we're comfortable, and we like to operate by sight and not by faith. I only want to move ahead if I know that the rock ledge above me will hold my weight. Until I know that it will hold my weight, I'm going to stay right here where I'm safe and comfortable, and I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be frightened. I want a clear staircase with railings and a harness and everything before I move up. But that's operating by sight, not by faith. Because of that, our prayers are safe and not moving forward. We don't pray for the advancement. You know, if you look at your prayers, most of your prayers are to keep you comfortable where you're at. Very rarely do you pray for you to be uncomfortable. You've lost that pioneering spirit of advancing forward, of taking ground, of fighting the enemy. Our prayers are like, Lord, keep us safe from the enemy. We don't want to take ground. We just don't want the enemy to take the ground we're on.
It's true.
We're safe. And our prayers are weak and wimpy because we're not trying to take ground, because we don't want to go by faith. We want to go by sight. And then, by the way, if you're praying by sight, then you don't really need to depend on God because you already know the self next step is secure. Pray by faith, believing. God, by faith, I'd like to see this accomplished. By faith, we'd like to take more ground. By faith. Our prayers are so wimpy and so lack of dependence on God because we lack in praying, believing. Lord, it would be nice if we had more people here. but we don't pray by faith. By faith, Lord, bring more people here. I believe this is your will. Help us to be uncomfortable and go forth and doing it. You know what we like to do? We like to pray. Let's give an example. We like to pray, God bring in the people, and we have the idea that one day someone's going to be sitting at home and I want to go to a church I've never heard of before. Let me just wander around. Oh, look, I found, we feel like people, that's how they're going to show up. If we're praying that God would put more people in here, then we have to do the uncomfortable feat to our prayer and say, Lord, I'm going to go out. I'm going to go talk to someone. I'm going to invite someone. I'm going to give them a track. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to be as right with God as possible so they would have a reason to listen to me. We like to see the answers to prayer without any of the work. So we don't pray by faith believing because we're not willing to act. We're not willing to respond. We want it by sight. We like to be comfortable. And then God just to kind of give us more comfort on top of our comfort. But that's not how God works. Taking ground, pioneering spirit. This is the reason why so many prayers are unanswered. We don't have faith. We pray with doubt. We pray with misgivings. So we covered how should we pray. Let's cover the next question. When should we pray? When should we pray? Well, the Bible answers, pray without ceasing. All the time. Luke 18:1 meant men ought always to pray and not to faint or to quit. So when should we pray? Pray when the sun is shining. When everything is good, we need to be praying. Amen. Remember, we talked about being comfortable. We need to pray when it's comfortable. Oftentimes, that's when our prayers slack off. When the bills are paid, sun is shining, everyone's healthy. We usually don't pick up our prayers. We kind of slack off. We stop praying. We stop allowing to be stirred up because we don't need God. We're not dependent on God. We're happy. We're good. But we should be praying when the sun is shining, when things are going right, when things are going well. In fact, that's the preferred time to pray to make sure we're right with God. So we don't have to have the stirring up. When should we pray? When sorrow and trouble come. Man instinctively turns to God in times of trouble. But you know, we need to make sure we have a God to turn to. So many people live like the devil in good times, then rush to God when trouble comes. That's a dangerous time. Say, God, I need you now. What about a couple days ago when you didn't need me? We should be able to have a relationship with God so when trouble comes, we're still moving forward. It doesn't stop us. That we understand that we could see the treasures in darkness, that God is working in the darkness, and that it's not for our harm, but it's for our good, that God has a plan in it, and that we're continuing to pray on. Unfortunately, most of the time when trouble hits our life is because we were comfortable and stagnant, and God has to stir things up to change our course, to change our direction, to change where we're going. We need to pray when you're discouraged. You know, that seems to be the hardest time to pray is when you're discouraged, but that's when you need it the most. Yes. Lord, and be honest with him. Lord, I don't feel like praying to you, but I need to pray to you. You said, nah, I can't do that. Yeah, read the Psalms. Yep. So many of the Psalms start off with say, God, why have you forsaken me? I feel so alone. I feel abandoned. But as they talk with God, God changes the prayer. And they're like, God, you're so good. It's for your glory. I see what you're doing now. That's when we should pray is when we don't feel like praying. You force yourself to pray. You talk to God anyways. God, I need you. Lord, I don't feel like praying to you. I hurt. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm frail. And the amazing thing happens is that there's such a strength that happens while you're praying. Now, by the way, if you stop there, Lord, I'm weak and frail, help me. I mean, he'll do the help me, but you cut off the prayer before you got the power. You pray until you're no longer discouraged. You pray until you're no longer weak. You pray until, and God will give power. He's real. When should we pray? Good times. When should we pray? Bad times. When should we pray? When we're so discouraged and hurting. Pray anyways. Pray, 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 pray. So how do we pray? When do we pray? And then the big thing, what happens when we pray? What happens when we pray? First of all, we're strengthened for service. We're strengthened for service. God puts his power into us. If not, we would just quit during hard times. He strengthens us for service. Remember, most of the time, we're comfortable. And we don't want to have the pioneering spirit. We don't want to step out by faith. We don't want to go to the next ledge, which is uncomfortable. We don't want to go to the next place where we're not sure. But when we pray and get a hold of God, he strengthens us to take that step, to go when we wouldn't go ourselves. That's why we need to be praying in the comfort time to continue to advance forward, to go to the next step, not stop, not get comfortable, but go, even if it's going to make us uncomfortable. And God gives us the strength to do so. Again, when we're in that time, that's the best place to advance forward rather than being slid back and then we just have to catch up to where we were at. Most of us work off a typewriter. You remember the old typewriters? Ding, ding, ding. That's exactly how we live our life. All right, we're doing something. All right, we just stagnate. Oh, we're there. We have to get start over, and then we have to get back to where we were at. Most of us, that's just how we are. All right, I pray. I try to get right with God. I get comfortable. I'm good. Oh, and then I just slide back, and I don't even realize how far. Ding! Now I have to get back to where I was. And we're not advancing forward. We're just playing catch up all the time. That's not how God intended us to live our life. God intended us to be taking ground, advancing forward all the time, not playing catch up, trying to get back to where we were once at. By the way, definition of backslidden, if there was any time that you are closer to God than what you are now, you're backslidden. Any time that we were closer with God than what we are now, we're backslidden. We should always be advancing forward. We should always be closer with God every day. Any day we're not closer with God, we're backslidden. And now we have to catch up ground. That's unfortunately most of the cycle of normal Christians. They get comfortable and they backslide. There's either two directions in the Christian life, not three. You're either advancing forward or you're sliding back. There is no stagnation in the Christian life. If you're stagnant, you are backsliding. You're either advancing forward or you're not. We need to be praying so we can be strengthened to take the next step and the next step. It doesn't matter if it's a small step, just keep taking a step. Keep moving forward, keep moving forward, keep moving forward. Not sliding back and then catching back up. Keep moving forward. And we only do that by prayer. What happens when you pray? Our faith is increased. Every answer to prayer that we have increases our faith. And so the more that you pray, the more answers to prayer, the more you see that God's working, the more that your faith's increased, your dependence on God, more and more and more. That's why it's always dangerous to stop praying. Because what happens, our faith decreases. And then once again, we have to catch back up to get into the place where we actually believe God again. You're either advancing forward or you're sliding back. Prayer makes cheerful Christians. Why? The Bible says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, let your requests be known of God, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, when we learn to trust and depend on God, we can just throw all of our burdens on him. And that we don't have to walk around discouraged, depressed, pity partied, mourning, sorrowful. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that your joy may be full. So many times I want to grab a Christian and shake them and says, where's the joy that God promised you? Because people aren't living in joy, but they should be. We can trust God with every problem, every issue. Anytime that we're worried and fretting is because we're not trusting in God. We could depend on him for everything. In everything in prayer and supplications, let your requests be known to God with thanksgiving, and the God of peace shall be with you. I forgot that with thanksgiving. You know, we could thank God in advance for taking care of my problems, my situations, my bills, my things. There's nothing like taking a bill and saying, well, I can't pay this. My bank says it's not enough. Lord, I could trust you with this bill. I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to trust you to take care of this. You know how many times people spend worrying on bills? People said, you knew my week. You know how many times we worry about family members? We worry about coworkers. We worry about our health. We worry about our situations. We worry about this. We get anxious and fret and rah. That's unfortunately normal life for most people. But it's not the life God desired for you to have. These things have I written unto you that your joy may be full. God wants us to live the principle of the overflowing life, meaning that he doesn't want us to have our cup full. He wants it overflowing. We see that in Psalm 23, that the Lord is our shepherd. And read at the end of it, it talks about that our cup runneth over. That's what he wants us to have, is the abundant Christian life. And we can, but it doesn't happen without prayer and dependence on God. Prayer makes us cheerful Christians. Faithful, believing prayer will bring conviction to sinners. If we're praying for people as we ought, the Holy Spirit's at work and stirring people's hearts. And should be convicting them, should be making them miserable, not for the purpose of making them miserable, but for the purpose of bringing them closer to the Lord. Remember, people won't get right until they see their need to get right. And they have to see that it's not going to work on myself. You know why there's so many miserable people in this church? Because I'm praying for you. I've had many times over the last 30 years, someone come up to me and I wish you'd stop praying for me. Well, I wish you'd just get right. No. People are miserable. Why? Because we're praying and the Holy Spirit's after them and stirring them and trying to show that you need something different than this. Because we have a wonderful God. God doesn't want us to be miserable, but wonderful thing is that I could trust that God's going to work in someone's life and I don't have to do it. I don't have to be the Holy Spirit. People like to take the Holy Spirit's job and go and beat up people with the Bible. I don't have to. I can sit back and watch and pray. Now, I do what God tells me to do, but I could pray. And I could trust that God will do his own work because God's more concerned for people than what I am. Amen. He's just using my prayers and answers to prayer to go work in their lives. God is a wonderful God. I'm thankful that there's a God who doesn't leave us alone. I'm thankful there's a God who chased me down when I was away. And he wouldn't let me go and wouldn't let me be content where I was at. Praise the Lord for the stirring of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we started that at the very beginning. That so many times we get comfortable. And one of the things that has to happen is for us to move forward is that we have to be uncomfortable. The easiest way is to allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to stir us up and we respond. But if not, God could do a stirring work. Well, why is it going to do a stirring work? Because you got people praying for you. And God's going to do something because he wants you to the self and he's got to answer prayers. And I can go to faith believing in his name because I believe that this is his will. I could line him up. God, you're going to work on them. I'm just going to sit back and watch you work, Lord. Now I'm praying that they would respond quickly and without letting everything fall apart. But if not, Lord, do what you got to do in order to bring them back to yourself. We could pray. We could watch God work. And God can do a convicting work. Remember, the whole purpose of this is not to make people miserable. The whole purpose of this is not to keep people in a place where they're always uncomfortable. The purpose of it is for you to develop a fellowship with God. He wants friends, and he's trying to reach out and do things in your life to bring you to himself. With that, we see we have a wonderful God, not an awful God, not a mean God, but a God who's willing to work in people's lives to draw them to himself. Through this whole series, we've been talking about prayer. And the purpose of this series is not for you to have good notes, not for you to have a book that you have on your shelf. The purpose was to bring you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ as you develop your own personal, intimate relationship with a wonderful God who loves you. And if this has not stirred you to pray more, the problem's not with God, not his word. Maybe it's because you've gotten really comfortable. Let me tell you, the best thing is to get yourself uncomfortable or wait till God stirs everything up. The easiest way is for you to say, you know what, I'm going to determine, I'm going to talk to God myself. I'm going to make this part of my habit. I'm going to talk with him. I'm going to allow myself to be uncomfortable and talk with him. God is worth it. It's not a waste of time. The best life you can have is a life dependent upon him. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for this entire series. And we're praying that you would do a work. Because you're real and because you love your people so very much. Help us to see what a great loving God that you truly are. And that it is not a burden to speak with you and to be with you and to talk with you. Lord, I'm asking that you would use this and use today to stir us up that we could get close to you and watch you work. Thank you for all that you do. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.